Hey friends, welcome or welcome back to the Swoon Diaries podcast. I'm your host, Naz, and today I will be doing a review of Death's Game with none other than Ori. Hey girl.
Woo! Hey! Happy season three, girl!
Thank you!
Can you believe 3 years ago we had that five-hour Our Beloved Summer review ready to start podcasting out here in these streets?
Oh my goodness. Memories. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And you're my first guest of season three. So yay.
Yes. I'm so happy to be here to talk about this show, because what a whirlwind, but such a good show.
Absolutely. Definitely a whirlwind. So, so good. So I'm so excited to talk about it with you. So as usual, let's start off with a K catch up. So Oriel, what are you watching?
Yes. So I'm sure Naz will probably have more on her side. If y'all haven't listened to her K catch up from y'all, she watching a lot of shows. I'm not nowhere near where Nazarene is. But I am watching Dr. Slump. I was telling Naz and our friend Hill, hey Hill, hey Mama Hogan. I was telling Hill and Naz that I'm kind of, I don't know how I feel about Dr. Slump yet. I don't know. But I'm still watching it because the Park Young-sik effect has happened. And guess what, Naz?
Mm-hmm.
We watched him in soundtrack number one too. You know, I forgot about that.
You said, you know, I forgot about that.
Because you brought up Our Blooming Youth, and I was like, I forgot about that one too, but I really forgot about soundtrack number one. But it didn't hit me. It didn't hit me then.
Yeah.
It's hitting me now. He's so funny.
He's very funny. Very funny, very charming in the show. I'm like, oh, like I understand why people are such big fans of him.
Yes. But I'm going to be watching it because that's the only currently airing show I'm watching until Queen of Tears. Woo! Naz and I did watch Captivating the King. I may go back to that eventually. Naz, you keep me updated on that with you, and then I'll decide. And then I'll be watching Killer Paradox because that came out today. I just haven't started it yet, but I do want to watch it because my babe is Wooshik is in there. And then the only other thing, variety shows, shout out to Elle and Maddie. I'm watching Kingdom Legendary War. I'm on episode 4. I don't know how I got here. The episodes are an hour and a half besides episode 10. But I'm falling in love with groups that I have no business adding more K-pop groups at this point. But I'm learning names. I'm learning personalities. Elle is sending me clips. Shout out Elle. Thank you, girl. And I'm like having new biases. It's just getting out of control, but I like it here.
Wait, what groups are you like interested in now?
So they have like their fave people that they go to for reactions and stuff. Mm-hmm. Their dramatic faces. And this is one guy, I think his name is Sunwoo, and the boys. Do you know the boys?
Yes, I know of them. I can't like name people or anything like that, but I know Elle has mentioned them to me before. I know she really loves them.
Yes, it's a lot of them too. So I don't know all their names, but they keep going to him. He has like really full lips and like really fluffy, like Tay fluffy hair.
Ooh.
And every time the camera goes to him, I'm just like, I like him. So that's one of them. But I'm still trying to learn names. They are super helpful in the subtitles. They give you the name of the person and the group that they're in. So I'm like, thank you. And the performances are just so good. So Naz, if you have time, I know it's too long, but you know.
It's too long.
Kingdom, Legendary War.
Do variety shows. It's, well, the music ones. Like, it's just the episodes are so long.
They are.
Where is it? Also, where are you watching it?
Viki.
Oh, it's on Viki. Okay.
Yes. The other Road to Kingdom is somewhere in the atmosphere somewhere. I don't know. You can't get it nowhere. So I don't know where that one is. But this one is on Viki. And it is nice also seeing Peniel.
Oh, B2B. Yes. Peniel, our old friend.
Yes, I know. Have you watched Eddie Get Real to See Your Man?
No, I need to catch up because my man is back on the show.
Yes.
So I have to start
support
again.
Support. Yes, that's it for me, Nazboo. What are you watching and listening to?
Okay. So I'm watching Marry My Husband. I just watched episode 11 and 12 and like I'm nervous. The show is starting to descend into chaos, and I'm getting really nervous because I'm really nervous. But I'm hoping it's just like a little, you know, blip on the radar, and it goes back to being good. But like, I was like, what is going on here? So yeah, I'm a little nervous.
Are you mad? Like, why did they do that? Oh,
yes. I'm like, what is going on? Like, I don't like where this is going. I was a little late in the game to be like throwing a wrench in things. So we'll see what happens, but I'm a little nervous about it. Captivating the King, like Oriel said, we both watched episode one of that show. I'm in the process of still finishing episode two, but I really liked episode one. I feel like I'm starting to like become more comfortable with historical dramas ever since My Dearest. So I really liked it. I am very new to the whole like woman dressing as a man trope though. And especially in Captivating the King, it's, you know, I know you have to suspend disbelief a little bit with that trope, but like in Captivating the King, it's egregious. Like, I'm like, she's clearly a woman. She's not disguising her voice at all. Yeah. She has a lip gloss on, like very clearly looks like a woman. Like
a man can't just have moisturized lips.
But she doesn't look like she's just a pretty man. No, like she literally looks like a woman. So it's just like, how does no one know? Like, and it's kind of getting to me, but I'm trying to like push through because I hear it's like really good, so I just need to like keep going. Dr. Slump, I watched episode one and two. I still need to watch three and four, but I absolutely love it. Like, I really love it. It's giving like, I don't know, just like standard rom-com, but I really like also like the commentary on mental health and like all the things. And this is my first time seeing like Park Hyung-sik in like kind of like a silly role. And I'm like, I understand like why people love him when he's like kind of being comical and like cute and stuff. So I'm really enjoying that. So we'll see as I keep going on, but I really like it. I also started Tell Me That You Love Me. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That show is made for me. That is my kind of show. And it's really beautiful mm-hmm. so far. I've only watched one episode, but I really, really liked it. And then lastly, The King's Affection. So
yes.
I think I'm on episode nine. Yes, I believe episode nine. It's so much fun. Like,
we need to talk. I didn't know you were that far. I got to talk to you.
I know. I forgot to update you guys about where I was in the show. But yeah, like when I was sick over the weekend, I literally just like sat in my bed and I watched like eight episodes.
Oh, we got to talk.
I know. We need to catch up because I have so many theories and things. But it's such a good show. Like, the storyline is so, like, robust. And I don't know. It's just really, really good. And unlike Captivating the King, Park Eun-bin does not look like a man. But she at least is trying to, like, put off the facade, especially because she had to live like a man for, like, most of her life at this point.
Yes.
You know, with the no voice loss. And, like, you know, the way she walks and all the way she acts. It's a little bit more believable, even though, you know, like clearly like she used to look like a woman, and even the, you know, her uncle's like, that looks like a woman, but like still, like, you know, it's a little bit more like at least she's trying, so it's not bothering me as much, even though you still have to suspend disbelief with the trope, but still, like, it's just so good. And like, this is the major thing I discovered though.
Room.
So, yeah, yes, Rowoon. I've seen Rowoon shows before. I think Rowoon is wonderful. But, like, I think my first Rowoon show was Tomorrow. And Tomorrow's more of, like, an ensemble cast. So, like, it's not really, like, it's the Rowoon show. And then I watched Destined with You. And you all should know how I feel about that show. But the thing is that when Destined with You was on air, I was just confused. Like, I was like, I don't understand why everyone is, like, literally falling over themselves about this show. Like, the show is like, was really getting to me. Like, I was just really annoyed when I was watching the show. And I was like, you know, people are like, well, it's Rowoon. It's Rowoon. Like, and I'm like, yeah, but like the show isn't good. So like, what? Like, I don't get it. I'm watching The King's Affection now. And I'm like, I feel like this was like the game changer show for him. And I now I understand why people joined the Rowoon cult and they weren't able to see, like, oh, this with you is, like, kind of a mess. But they couldn't see that because they love Rowoon so much. Wow. And I understand because he's so good in this show. He's so good. And I was like, oh, yes. I understand. Like, oh, and I always loved Rowoon, but, like, I love him even more now just seeing him in this role. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, by the time I finish the show, like, it's, like, my favorite Rowoon role because he's really, really good in it. Really, really good. So, yeah.
He's so good. I can't wait for you to watch Extraordinary You when they have, like, the light shining on him and he just staring.
I know. I can't wait. He's I can't so watch cute. That one. It's funny, though, because it. In the – I know. It's funny, though, because even in The King's Affection, like, they do these, like, gratuitous, like, angles of his face, like, all the time, too. Yes. Like, so funny.
We know he's a beautiful man. We know.
Yes, we know. But yeah, that's my Rowoon gush. But yeah, I'm enjoying all the shows I'm watching. I'm watching a lot. Ooh. Oh, I also forgot to mention that I had checked out that show Flex Cop that has An Bo-hyun in it. I really liked episode one. But then episode two, I was like, So I'm still on the fence about that one. I might go back. I might not. But he looks great in the show. And it's a fun show. So yeah. But that's why I can't catch up. It's pretty long.
Did you hear his interview? On Bo-hyun's interview, he was saying like his grandma really thought him and Kim Go-eun were together because she was watching Yumi Cells.
Really?
She told him like, oh, do you think she'll like this type of food? And he was like, grandma, we are not together. This is a TV show. I was like, oh, so precious.
That is so cute.
Yes. I was like, oh my gosh. Poor his grandma can't watch the shows.
Oh my gosh, that is so cute. They had such good chemistry in that show.
They did.
He'll be like, oh, this is real. Like,
yes,
that's his girlfriend.
It's like, oh.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah.
Adorable. All right, let's get into the main event. Let's talk about Death's Game. So excited. So let's get into the rundown. And this is from My Drama List. He's perennially unemployed, his ex-girlfriend has moved on, and he's just lost all his life savings to a Bitcoin scam. Burdened by societal pressures, Chae-jae decides to take his own life. Insulted by a flippant attitude towards dying, Death comes to punish him with her game. He must experience death over and over again through 12 other lives. But if he can find a way to survive the imminent death coming for these lives, he gets to live out their lifetime. His life was a bust, but what about the lives of others? So, Chae-jae is played by Seo Eun-guk, who you may have seen in Do Much Your Service, The Smile Has Left Your Eyes, as well as Reply in 1997. Death is played by Park So-dam, who you may have seen in Cinderella and the Four Knights, Record of Youth, and the movie Parasite. And Kim Mi-kyung plays Yi-jae's mother, who you may have seen in Welcome to Samdal-ri, Healer, countless and countless other dramas. She is very prolific. And this drama also stars a lot of other people such as Sung Hoon, Kim Ji Hoon, Go Yoon Jung, Lee Jae Wook, Lee Do Hyun, Choi Si Won, just to name a few. There are so many amazing actors in the show. So it's just skimming the surface. But so let's get into first impressions. So, Auriel, when you started Death's Game, what did you think?
Yes. So, I'm stealing this from our. Was it a lover list or was it a first impressions? What did we call it then?
I think we called it lover list. Yes, I think we did a lover list. Yeah.
Stealing this from our lover list. But I just saw everybody's like pictures. I really feel like Netflix had it and then Amazon stole it. That's probably a lie. But I remember seeing all their pictures in like the Netflix K-content type of way. And I was like, oh, look at all these people. I'm so excited to see it. But then when they were saying like it's going to be different parts, I was a little hesitant. But yeah, I was excited to see the Alchemy of Souls reunion. I was like, here we go. Seo Eun-guk, Park So-dam. I'm just excited to see everybody perform and they delivered.
Okay? Yes.
They delivered. But yeah, that's how I felt.
I totally agree. They had been like, I had heard about their show, like probably at the beginning of 2023, like they were kind of like doing these really like little tiny teasers, like the show that's going to have this like stacked cast. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how did they get all these people into one show? Like, how's this going to work? Like, what is the show even about? And then over the course of the months, you learn more and more and more about the show and just like the plot and everything. And so, yeah, I was super excited about it, just like just from the cast alone, because I was like, it has to be good. This cast is amazing. And then when I first started the show, I was just blown away. Like those first two episodes, I was like, this is such a unique concept. And, you know, even though the actors, each actor gets like one episode, maybe one and a half, like, you know, they really came correct. And they're like, I'm going to give, you know, you have 45 minutes of me. I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you my best. And they really did. Yes. And I was just blown away by everyone's acting performances. Like, I could not believe it. I was like, this show is about to be, this is about to be major. Like, and you could tell from like literally the first minute that this show is definitely set apart from other shows. So yeah, I was definitely blown away for like from the very beginning.
Yes. I also was a little hesitant because the last time we had like a superstar studded cast was like Jerry Son? R. Blues a little bit too.
Oh yeah. But R. Blues was, yeah.
Yeah. But I know Jerry Son, I'm not pronouncing that right probably, but that had a lot of people, but that didn't have like really good reviews. So I was just I was a little nervous. But R. Blues was good, right?
R. Blues was so good. Oh my gosh. So good.
Okay. So maybe it is. It just was Jerry Son.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
was just on that show.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But yeah, it was exciting. I was like, I've never seen like a show with such like an explosive cast like this before. So
yeah.
It was definitely very, very, very fun. Okay. So let's get into our characters. So let's talk about EJ first. Like, what did you think about him?
Yeah. I was telling Nez, I was like, I don't know how I feel about him because he was getting on my nerves at first. I'm like, is this man going to learn his lesson? He literally didn't really learn it until the last life, spoiler alert. But I was just like, he was just so selfish and stubborn for the longest time. Then he got a short-term goal and he tried to achieve that and not really tried to look at the big picture of why he was there. So for half of the show, I was like, I don't know how this is going to end. It could really end with him literally dying and going to hell, I guess. But I don't know. I don't know. But I'm glad. I'm proud of him. Character arc at the last second. But character arc. Okay. But yeah.
It's like,
this young man.
Yeah. EJ. Yeah, in the beginning, you know, it's interesting because I think, I don't know, he very, very well portrays like what a character arc is. Like you start off and like he starts off, he's obviously in despair. He gets into Death's Lair and he's like, where am I? What's going on? Yeah. And she's just like, you're gonna have to live through 12 lives. Like you're gonna go to hell, you know, and shows him hell and she shows, you know, all these things. And, you know, he's, you know, in the first few lives, he's like messing up and he doesn't really understand what's going on. He's trying to get his bearings. And then kind of like in the middle, like you said, like he has kind of like this goal in mind, but he's still very much off task and his motivations are not where they should be still. And then at the end, like it was really beautiful because he really starts to learn the lesson that death was trying to teach him. And when it all clicks for him, it's just, I think the way that they made everything come full circle for him was really, really, really well done. But yeah, he grew a lot. And it's funny because you get to see his growth through all these other lives, which is really interesting. So yeah, it was really, really fascinating to watch. Okay. Let's talk about Death. What did you think about her?
Park So-dum is back. Okay.
Yes.
She out here killing it. Okay. I don't have too much to say about her. I don't know. I guess people could knock her off for this, but she had a very reserved approach to the character, which I guess Death couldn't be like super one way or another. It's supposed to be like a great character on here. So I think she played that well, but it wasn't, I don't know if I had any like strong opinions either way about her character. I don't know. How about you?
Yeah. I mean, I just think that like Park So-dum like played the character really well, because I feel like it's kind of hard to play kind of like, you know, she doesn't necessarily lean one way or another. She's very like impartial and like fair, and it shows. So she's not showing excitement. She's not showing like necessarily anger or frustration. Right. She's just like, this is what it is. These are the rules. You have to follow them and that's it. And I think that she like portrayed that really, really well. Cause it's hard to kind of be that like you're kind of literally like in the middle and you can't show too much emotion on either end. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that she did like a really good job with that. And I think like with that character, I don't know, you like, you know, Yijie's going through all these different stages of, in a way, like grieving his life or like what he could have had or, you know, things like that. And she just has to kind of like look on with like no, yeah. with no emotion because she's not a person. She's death. She's just death personified. Right. So I think that she played the nuance of that like really, really well. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you, how did you feel about EJ's mom?
So do you think she, I think her name is Kim Mi-kyung. Do you think she's mm-hmm. the new Gamri, Kim Young-ok?
No, because she's not that old.
Well, not the, I mean, as far as like, she's the Ajumma in every K-drama recently. And that's how I feel yeah. like Kim Young-ok was in 2022.
Yeah, she's like, but she's like old. She's been like K-drama mom for like a long, long time. Yeah, she's like always mom.
She's always mom. And Gamri is always grandma. Yeah, you're grandma, right.
Yeah.
Let me not disrespect her. I am so sorry, Kim Min-kyung.
I mean, so she's sorry. Like, she has some time before she's, you know.
Gamri. Gamri, you know? Gamri is young, Nez. You have some respect for Gamri's
name. I know. We love Gamri. But like, yes. Kim Min-kyung isn't there yet.
Yes. Kim Young-ok, I'm looking out for you too, girl. You young, okay? But yes, 10 out of 10. I mean, we were watching Song Dori at the same time, so I just was in awe of this lady, seeing her more like stubborn and composed in Song Dori, and then this one is like she completely is broken. And even when Yijie is her and stuff, even her acting, trying to level out like what that would even be like, I guess, in a sense, was really good. And every time that lady cried, I wanted to cry. I was like, her and EJ Wook. I'm like, please stop crying, y'all. But yeah, she did so good. She did so good. And I love that she was like the point. She's the main character at the end of the day, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
It all went back to her. But yeah, how about you?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think like his mom's character was the heart of the show. And at the start of the show, you don't like see that coming at all, which mm-hmm. I think was just so brilliant the way they did it. Cause I don't even think that she's like on the poster, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So like, no. But she's literally the center of the story. And I can't wait to talk more in detail about it, but just the way, I don't know, she was just incredible. And Kim Min-kyung's performance was incredible. Like, you really see, like, the love and the heart of a mother, like, in her performance.
Yes.
So, yeah, I just loved, like, and even, like, you know, as, you know, the character of the mom, she just had so much compassion for him. She just wanted the best for him. She just wanted him to be okay. And like, no, her life wasn't the easiest, but she just really wanted him to be okay. And she loved her son. She loved him so much. Yeah. And as the show goes on, you get to see that. So yeah, I loved her character a lot. And she was the heart of the whole thing. It was amazing.
Yes, love her.
Yeah. So yes, but before we go into notable scenes, I wanted to know, like, did you have a favorite life, like in the show or lives? Like, you don't have to only pick one, but like, what were some of like your favorite lives in the show?
This is hard. So I like the motorcycle man. I like mm-hmm. that life because I thought he was cute.
Oh, yes.
But it's hard because the performances is what like is really standing out for me.
Yeah.
And this is hardness.
I know. You don't have to pick one. You could pick like multiple. Like, where were like your favorite? Like, who were your favorite? Like, get the lives that were lived, or like the actor that portrayed it. Like, your favorite.
Yes. So I definitely loved EJ Wook. Like, that whole thing, him getting the bully straight, like, that was just so good. Yes. I really thought that that was gonna be the life, like, he was gonna stick that one out.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course I liked which one was that, Gucho's, the battle of the crazy
yes.
people.
Yes. Yes, it was literally a battle. It was a battle of the crazies.
Yes, I did not. We're gonna get to that when I get. I was like, Kim J Wook, I know this man. But him fighting against Kim Ji Hoon, I was just like, oh my gosh, I don't know who to root for. They both crazy. But yeah, that That was just right? really entertaining. But yeah, those would be probably my top three. And then I guess a little like one in there is, it was a real short life, but Sung Hoon's life was just, not entertaining. It was, I don't know what the word is. It caught me off guard.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, I think definitely I agree. Like EJ Wook, what was his character's name? Cho Tae-sang. He was like MMA fighter, and then he ended up going to prison. And it, but his acting performance, oh my gosh, like he was so good.
So good.
And same here, Gyu Chol, played by Kim Jae-wook. He was amazing. Like,
yes.
I've never seen him. I haven't seen all his work, so I've never seen him in like a, you know, kind of like a crime type of role. But oh my goodness, he was amazing. I was like, you're really good at this. Like, you're too good at it. And I also really enjoyed the Lee Do Hyun episode.
Oh, yes.
It was, he, who was his character? Jang Gun Woo. And he was a model, like slash barista. And he did a really, really good job as well. And like that episode was kind of like a nice reprieve from like all the other stuff that was going on. Cause kind of like, it was kind of like the most romantic episode that there was, which was
sweet. Out of there.
It had a horrible ending, like as far as just like what ended up happening. But
man, yeah, crazy.
I really enjoyed like his character. And isn't it interesting that like all these different actors, like basically like EJ is like living his life through all these different people, but like the actors still had to like convey like EJ through their role.
Yeah.
And I think everybody did such a great job doing that. Like
I agree.
Kind of like Inception. It's like,
yes,
side this person. But like you could still, for the most part, see like EJ in the way that they were portraying the character, which was, I thought was really, really cool.
Yeah. Cause most of these people for K-dramas, they spend in like episodes being one character, but these people are coming in, like you said earlier, for 45 minutes and they have to be their character, but also have the influence of the other character as well, which
yes,
they are just skilled. Okay.
Yes. So skilled.
Yes.
Oh man. All right. So let's get into our notable scene. So excited. So let's start episode one. Like, did you have anything from that episode?
I like the opening quote. It said, "The most painful death to a mortal is one that is foreseen." I was like, oh, I didn't see this the first time. But I don't want to keep, you know, bringing this up, but it's just the most funniest moment in our friendship. Can you talk about the CGI?
Oh, God.
Please.
Yeah.
Well, there are scenes that happened before that, but that's what my mind goes to mainly in episode one. So if you had anything else before that scene, go. But I just want you to talk about it, please.
Yes. So I watched episode one of Death's Game. And in the first episode, we see EJ. He's like, I think he has a job interview. So he's super excited. He's having a great day. And he's just walking down the street. And this man like runs into him as he's, you know, and then the man runs into the street with the intention of ending his own life by getting hit by a car. So the man runs into the street, gets hit by a car, but you would think that like if someone's getting hit by a car, like they would roll on top of the car and kind of like fly up and then come down. But the guy like ran into the street, got hit by the car. He flew backwards.
Yes.
Back, like onto the sidewalk right in front of EJ. And I was like, what type of convoluted like physics? I didn't understand. I watched the scene like 10 times because it bothered me so much that he like flew around like that. I was like, why?
I was telling Ness, because I watched this already, and I was like, Ness, please watch. And she's like, okay, I'm going to go watch. This is not what I thought she was going to talk about. I'm like, what? I didn't even recognize it when I watched. And she's like, yeah, CGI. Which they spent a lot of money on.
Like, Oriole had started the show before I did, and she was like, oh, like, don't watch it before bed. Like,
yeah.
So I'm expecting, like, you know, and she was right, because the first episode, like, Death showed EJ hell, and like the demon people were like climbing, and it was scary. And I was like, oh, I understand why she said that.
That's what I thought you was going to comment on. You like, no, the CGI, the car. I was like, oh, I did not pay attention to that.
You're like, I didn't notice that. And I was like, I did. I did watch it like 10 times. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, goodness. Oh,
man.
That was one of the highlights of our friendship. That was so funny. I have a behind the scenes note, Naz.
Yeah.
So after the scene where he's like, you know, the man comes and he doesn't get the job and like his life starts going downhill, mm-hmm. Actually leaving from the interview, he gets a call and said like basically he got scammed.
Yeah.
So he goes to like hunt down the person and he starts like banging a fire extinguisher against a room door and he mm-hmm. breaks it. So someone Gook said that wasn't part of the plan. They had to pay for that doorknob.
Really?
Yeah, he said he did it by accident because the director was telling him, like, just go at it. And he went at it and it broke. So, yeah, they had to pay for that after. So I was like, oh, okay. But it was good.
Thank you so much for the behind the scenes tea because I did not know that.
Yeah, girl. I was like, whoo.
But yeah. He was too committed to the role.
Yes. But he was following his direction. Did you see someone good got muscles? Okay, like that man be in the gym. So,
oh yeah, he is.
Mm-hmm. He don't play, but yeah, just a little behind the scenes. But that's it. Besides, before we get into the lives that I had.
Okay, was she one? Was that episode one or was that episode two?
That is his name, Jente.
Yeah,
yes, it's episode one. Jente and J Sob is one.
Something. Okay. Oh, got it. Okay. Yeah. So, I just had the whole like Jente thing because I was like, the show just starts off with a bang because EJ mm-hmm. enters Jente's body and mm-hmm. he's on this plane that seemingly to us, the audience, it looks like it's going down and EJ thinks the plane's going down as well. So he's like freaking out. And the flight attendant's like, it's just turbulence. It's fine. Like, it's fine. Everything's okay. And then he's like, no, I'm going to die. So then he's like trying to like save himself. But then the plane actually starts going down. And it was like, it was such I was stressed. Like it was a very stressful watching it go down. And like people are flying out of the plane. It was so bad. But it was like so his first glimpse of like what this is going to be like. And EJ's like, oh my gosh, do I have to do this like 12 more times? Is this what I'm going to have to go through?
Yes.
And then in that same episode, we meet Sung Hoon's character, J Sub.
Wow.
And shocking. he's a daredevil, mm-hmm. essentially. And he does like these challenges. I don't know why. What would provoke somebody to jump out of a plane with no parachute and think that you're going to land on the little soft little bed that's on the ground in the specific spot? It's like, you can't fly. Like, why do you think that's going to happen? It made no sense. But like, and then he had like the four people with parachutes around him. I'm guessing in case of emergency, think like, oh, like, let me hang on to this person. But he's like, but EJ's like, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. And then it's just like a splat. And it was, my mouth was on the floor because my mouth was on the floor. Like, and then even like my reaction was literally the same reaction as like the people that were on screen, like watching it like on television.
Why is this televised?
I was like, why? This is so bad. It was so
bad. Why is this televised? I want to report them to the government because why is this on TV? Why?
No, thank you.
Yes.
No, thank you. It was so bad. Sung Hoon was only in the show for like 10 minutes.
I know. He killed it though.
He's did. Like, I'm here.
Naz, did you like hear where you starting to get a little suspicious? Like Kim Ji Hoon, like, is he about to be a big bad of any sort? Like, did you think anything going to tie together? No.
Yeah. I was definitely suspicious of Kim Ji Hoon because he was Jintae's brother that we find out. Mm-hmm. And then he was also, he popped up again later on. Yeah, he popped up again. But I was suspicious of him. Like, just knowing that he was Jintae's brother, well, I was like, okay, I'm going to keep my eye on him because this is going to come back around. And then as the show progressed, I was like, oh yeah, like you're definitely involved. And then, you know, we find out things as the show goes on. But yeah, no, I was definitely suspicious after the first two episodes of him.
even with Sung Hoon's, like, they was like this mysterious donor person.
Yes.
I'm like, who is that?
Is and exactly.
Kim Ji-hoon, I'm like, he got to be in here for a substantial amount. I don't know why I thought that though. I was like, I don't think he's just going to be in and out. I thought he had like a bigger role, and he's usually playing crazy people. So,
yep.
I was suspicious, but yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I agree.
All right. Episode 2.
Yeah. Hyuk-soo's life. Okay. So this child actor,
so good.
I also loved how they tied in Sung-hoon's life into even this life. Like, Yoon Soo's character was watching the death on the screen. I was like, wow, okay, so something is going on here. This role did like begin planting the seeds, Hyuk-soo's life of like the mom being some type of seed of like, this is what it's going to come to. Cause this is when, why can I not remember names? There's so many names right now. This is when Yijae was like, just thinking about his mom and stuff like that and starting to get emotional and all of that. So I'm like, okay, something is going bigger with the mom.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know about you. This bully story was just too much. It's just too much. Okay. It was just too much, even though he got him at the end. But then I was just overwhelmed. Cause I'm like, you and Sue, you were so cute in Alchemy. What happened?
Yeah, I agree. The child actor, incredible. Incredible. So Kim Kang-hoon, you killed it.
So good.
You were amazing.
So good.
But yeah, it was hard to watch. That episode was definitely very hard to watch. And then, you know, you see EJ be like, okay, like, I'm not going to go down without a fight. I'm going to you know, make this work. And he like basically got the bigger bullies to go against Yoon Soo's character. And like, he got his revenge in a way. And you think like, okay, like, he's going to be good.
Yes.
And then Yoon Soo ends up murdering him. And it's just like, oh my goodness. It was so sad. And again, like what you said about Yoon Soo, like I've only ever seen him in Alchemy. So I've only ever seen him as like the goofy, lovable, and even Good Bad Mother, he's goofy, lovable character.
Oh.
So then seeing in here, I was like, oh my gosh, you're like terrible. Like what is going on with you? Like, he was just so evil. And I was like, somebody take this guy down. Like, what is going on? But yeah, he played that role very well. Very versatile. Very, very versatile.
Girl. And they did try to get us. They had like the white truck of doom try to get Hyuk-soo at first.
Yes.
And he's like, nope. And then Yoon Soo came and killed him. So.
Yep. Yeah. And this was the episode with the gangster guy too, right?
Yeah. Which ever since you told me, shout out to Jess. Hey girl. Ever since you told me what Jess said about like, this could have been Ji Chang-wook as well. I'm just like, yeah, I can't see this man anymore. I see Ji Chang-wook on that motorcycle.
Can you imagine?
I can't.
I would not be
able. Leather?
Oh my gosh. Riding a motorcycle.
Riding a motorcycle with some shades at nighttime. Girl.
It would have been too much to handle. Maybe that's why they did. It was like, yeah. I was like, Jess, you're really onto something. I could not. I was like, wow. Wow.
It would be the show.
I can't unsee it now.
I can't see it. I mean, I do appreciate this actor. I've never seen him in anything before.
I loved him. I loved him. He was great. You said what?
Have you seen him in anything?
What was that? I'm not done with the show yet. I started it a long time ago, but it's called Familiar Wife. He's in that show.
Oh.
But yeah, that's the only other show that I've seen him in.
Never seen him. I guess I was more naive because Naz said that she knew the girl was going to turn on him. I did not see that coming, you know. But yeah, I love this whole gang mafia situation. I was like, well, maybe him and the girl going to be happily ever after with the money. But she shoots him in the head. But I guess he knew it was coming or he had a backup plan because he hid the money somewhere else that he didn't tell her. But anyway, how did you know she was going to turn?
it just seemed like it was too easy. Like he got, you know, he managed to like ride his motorcycle all throughout the town and he made it through. Mm-hmm. And then he got the, I was like, it's too easy. I was like, something's going to happen. And it did. Yeah. It was just too simple.
Girl, I didn't see it. I didn't see it coming at all. Oh, and he died again.
I know. He's like, on to the next life. Did you have anything else from episode 2?
I think that's it. Other than this whole, okay. They have this crime scene, right? And I hope we're going to flow into episode 3. They have the crime scene in episode 2, and they're just showing that. I thought it was EJ's mom and the girlfriend or something. I don't know. So they have that. And then in episode 3, they show the crime scene again, but then they show a baby with a red dress. I'm like, what y'all adding in this stuff? Which we'll get into the crime scene thing later, like what actually was there. But I was just like, where does baby doll come from?
Right. Right. That's all. And they kind of keep teasing this scene. Like, and you're just like, what? And like, and there, I remember like, I was kind of tired when I was watching that episode. And towards the end, I'd be like, what? Did I miss something? But then it would just, I was like, oh, it was just a random cut. So I was like, okay, I guess this is like a foreshadowing clue of some sort.
Yeah, girl.
I definitely didn't know what it. I literally had no idea what it was going to end up being. I was shocked when everything kind of ended up.
Yes,
how it was. I was like, oh my gosh.
Good editing by them.
Yes. Okay, episode 3.
Oh, the man, the myth, the legend. Excuse me. EJ Wook.
Yes.
The man who can look you in the eye and have a tear falling down his face. Like, ooh. First of all, there's an alchemy reunion, him and you and Sue. He got him right. But yeah, he just did such a good job. Like, he has come such a long way, specifically in my brain, from Extraordinary You to now. I just was rewatching Extraordinary You and I was like, I hated his character, but that just shows just how good EJ Wook is.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just did so good. And I just loved his character, Taesung, how he, I thought he, you and Sue was going to be the main bully, but Taesung put his foot down in the jail and he was like, boom. I was suspicious of his little friend. We're pretty much introduced to him immediately when Taesung goes back to like the room they're all staying in the jail cell. And he winds up becoming the man that kills him in the end. So that was a little sad, but shout out to EJ Wook. Give him his award.
Yeah.
Don't know which one.
Great job in that role. I really appreciated that episode, how they brought things like full circle with like him ending up in jail with Yu and Sue's character. And, you know, EJ had obviously been killed by Yu and Sue's character when he was, in Hyuk-soo's body. So kind of like this full circle thing. And that's when I started to realize like, oh, like things are kind of come full circle in this show. One-off like lives, like everybody seems to be connected somehow. And there's something like connecting all of these people. So that's when I started to see that. In this episode, I thought it was really, the one part that I thought was really funny was when, Taesung was like in the jail and he was like kind of terrorizing Yu and Sue's character, and he was like basically trying to convince him like, oh, like Hyuk-soo told me like da 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 da, and like trying to act like he could hear him, like he could hear ghosts or something. He's right over there. EJ Wook did an incredible job. I think the scene that sticks with me from this episode was when he gets out of jail.
Yeah.
And he like goes to like the place where the gangster motorbike version of him like hid the money or whatever. So he looked at that and he was like in the room, and his mom calls him and he answers the phone, and she was like, oh, like Taesung, da da da. And like this single tear just like falls from his eyes. And it was just like, oh my gosh.
I don't know how he did it.
Oh my gosh. It was so good. It was so good. Yes. It's just like the single tear. And you can see it's just like, EJ, like, you know, he's not talking to his actual mom, but it's kind of like he was talking to his mom because he obviously hasn't been able to talk to his mom since he died. So, oh, man.
Yeah. So good. And that's just an element of the show that I liked, because although we're learning these new people through that little orb memory thing, and getting invested in their lives. We're also still trying to follow what Yijay is doing at this point, which I guess at this point he trying to hide the 10,000. I don't even know how much money it was. Yeah. So we're just like, okay. So every time somebody died, I was just sad.
Yeah, it was very sad. Oh, now that you mentioned the orb, we didn't even talk about that. Like, I loved how they showed us the snippet of each person's life that Yijay was about to, like, inhabit. Yes. I thought the way they did that was just so brilliant.
Same. I loved it. So, and you could just, again, going back to the actors, because they were actually could fully be that character in the memory. Mm-hmm. But then once the memory was over, it's like, okay, they have to be Yijay, but also implement that character as well. It's just like the duality.
Yes.
The duality.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
Give them the awards.
Did you have anything else for episode 3?
I don't think so. I think that's it.
Okay. All right.
Oh, that's what I said.
I know. Was episode 3, was that he turned into the baby at the end of that episode, yes. Right? Yeah.
Yes.
That was very sad. That was very upsetting. It was very, very disturbing. I was like, I don't like this. It was so sad.
Also, so glad it was short.
Me too. I couldn't have taken a whole episode of that. It was really hard to watch.
Yes. I do want to say, I mean, this is very sad and I'm not trying to like, you know, downplay it, but So In-guk's impressions of being the baby, like when the, they're not CPS, but I'm calling them Child Protective Services over there. Mm-hmm. When they came in, he was, of course the baby not speaking, but he was just like, no, they hit me, come get me. I was just like, So In-guk, so cute.
I know. Yes. And then he tried, but it's just like, to them, it just, the baby's just crying and he's just like, no, listen to me. Oh my God, that's so sad. His parents were trash, just complete trash. And it was really shocking because when you first meet the baby, I'm like, oh, like, you know, he just has like a frazzled mom. Like, she's fine. Mm. The minute they get in the car, it's like a whole other situation. And I was like, no, this is. I'm glad that was short.
Yes. I also think going back to the crime scene, that little baby doll was just like a foreshadowing to him being a baby.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's so true. That's such a good point.
Because, I mean, we'll get to it. The people who was in the crime scene ain't have no baby doll hanging around. So
that's true. That's so true.
But yeah, the poor baby.
I know.
He was like, I think my rib is broken. My heart also hurts very much.
Oh,
he's so cute.
Oh my gosh. It was painful. I was like, I cannot do this. I can't do this. Okay. On to episode 4.
Yes, this is the one that Naz mentioned, Lee Do-kyun, which, side note, Naz, we're going to get back to this. I have a crush on him, mainly because, going back to Kim Go-eun, have you been seeing, like, the pictures from their film that's coming out?
Wait, are those real? For some reason, I thought that was AI. Is that
no.
The tattoos? It's real?
It's real with the ponytail.
Wait, why did I think those were, like, AI made photos? Why. I was like, what? I didn't think that those
you
were
real. You
thought
they were AI?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. No, they have a film coming out or it's out. I don't know. Oh my gosh. Ness.
Thank you so much for telling me.
Somebody would have brought it up and Ness would be like, I thought that was fake, but no, girl, it was real. I was like, oh, he looks so good with his ponytail and tattoos. Okay. He looks so good. But I had to bring that up. Kim Go-eun is just winning. Okay.
Yes. She knows how to pick them.
Yes. But yeah, I loved all of the scenes in the cafe. And I believe this was also said on Shout Out Liliana's podcast as well when you were on there, Naz. Make sure y'all go listen to that as well. But I personally think Gunwoo and Jisoo had more chemistry than Yijay and Jisoo as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because those cafe dates, and then even when they were showing the flashbacks, I was like, they just don't compare to the now. Like, mm-hmm. I want them to be together, these renditions of them. But yeah, their chemistry was chemistrying. Okay. But I also was concerned with Jisoo, because how much of an imagination are you just going to let somebody have at this point? Because I would have been calling the police with the stuff this man was saying. I mean... It could be a fantasy book, sure, but it gets to the point where it's becoming more, it's coming out of control. But good for her. She had patience and gentleness, which I need. But yeah, this was the end of part one. So I was like, woo. But yeah.
That is so funny. Yeah, I totally agree. Lee Do-hyun and Go Yoon-jung had more chemistry than she did with Seong-guk. Definitely. Yes. Like the chemistry was there with these two for sure. Yes. But yeah, in this episode was really significant was we see Kim Ji-hoon's character pop up again because Gwang-woo went to the club or something and Kim Ji-hoon was there. And I was like, okay, like there's Kim Ji-hoon again. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, I thought this episode was really sweet because you get to see Jay like mourn the different parts of his life, but then you get to see like specifically this episode, like him like mourning his relationship and like him like really regretting that he like left his girlfriend. And you know, it was just really sad. So
yeah.
And I think the other scene that really stuck out to me in this episode was there was a scene when EJ's mom, I don't know if she had just went to go to like his memorial or something, mm-hmm. but she went to the bathroom. She was like, okay, I'm just going to go to the bathroom really quick. And she was just wailing, wailing in the bathroom. And like, and then, you know, Gwang-woo, EJ starts crying and it was just, oh my goodness. So that scene definitely stuck out to me. Like one of the scenes that stuck out to me from the whole show. But the moment that shook me to my core, and what a way to end part one.
How was that car accident? Did they die correctly, Ness?
Yes, that one made sense. But it was terrible. Like, what's her name? Jisoo and Gwang-woo, they're just like standing there. Like, it kind of looked, it wasn't really like a bridge, but they were like in front of like water. And then this car just literally just like runs into them and like terrible. Like mows them down, and I was shocked, like my mouth was on the floor. I was like, what the heck? And then we see that is the scene that has been foreshadowed for the last like two episodes of these bodies being taken away and like the baby doll and everything.
So
I was just like, okay, this is a lot more sinister than I'm thinking. Like, and I was like, there is definitely something like linking like all of these things, you know. So so yeah, I was like, man, this is getting real. But yeah, that was a really good episode, though.
Yes. And this is where me and you was like, oh, now we got to wait 3 weeks. Wait, was it 2-3 weeks? I don't know.
Yeah, it was like 2 or 3 weeks. It was hard to wait, though. I was like, no.
Yes. I'm like, what happened? This man is crazy.
I know. All right. Episode 5.
This man, Gyu Cho. I was not expecting. The whole him killing people and using their blood. That's a sugar hit. The show went dark. I was like, huh. But literally, is this my favorite scene? I don't know. Taehyu and Gyu Cho literally was going back and forth. Gyu Cho shows up to his house.
Mm-hmm.
And they start fighting. They get shotguns out and shooting one another. He kidnaps him and takes him to his lair, I'm gonna call it.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna call it too. His lair. His lair.
And I'm just, first of all, they show you a scene that this man has like brain cancer, I believe. Gilchrist has brain cancer. So the whole time when that was revealed, I'm like, he's going to pass out or something again. Like, what is he doing? So when he takes Taehyu to like his lair and I'm just like, something is going to happen. Of course he passes out and he winds up on the table. It's just too much. But my favorite scene was them going back and forth in the shotgun and stuff. I'm like, woo. But then it went down.
Said my favorite scene.
I know. What does that say about me? I don't know. I don't know what the word is, but y'all know. Y'all know what I'm trying to say, I hope.
But yeah. Oh my goodness, it's so funny. When you said this episode went dark, it went dark. Because again, this is like the intro to part two. So we're like,
yes,
okay, like let's get this show done. So excited to see how they're going to end it. I mean, this was like, if you are squeamish and you don't like gore, it's like, yeah, just close your eyes. This episode was tough to watch. I was struggling to watch this episode. It was kind of like the battle of the psychopaths in this episode.
It
was almost like they were trying to one-up each other. It's like, you think that you're crazy, I'm crazier than you. Like, they were just, yeah, it was wild. It was wild to see. I don't have words. It was wild. But Kim Jae-wook and Kim Ji-hoon, like, they did such a good job. They did an amazing job in that episode. Because I can imagine how, like, hard it is to play, you know, characters that are so depraved. Man, like, they did a really good job. And, like, even though it was, like, a tough watch, like, I have so much respect for just, like, the acting of that episode, because I was like, wow.
Girl. And they're friends, too. They were on...
They were on Seungkook's show. Yeah.
They were on there. And I didn't know Kim Ji-hoon is very extroverted. Mm-hmm. And Kim Jae-wook is very introverted. It's funny. He was just talking about his hyung and stuff. So cute, but...
So cute. And, like, they look so good.
I know. That's why I'm like, why? How are y'all friends? How?
Right.
How? Good for y'all. Too much, but yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Off the rails.
Okay. Yes. Episode 6, right?
This is actually still in 5. It's still in 5.
Split. Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah, because Oh Jung-se had a long arc, because he had like the end of 5 and then like all of 6, right?
And remember, like, he showed up, they split to him for a second or so, because he was stopping Kim Ji-hoon's character because he was speeding and they were tracking him down.
Yes. Yes. So, and he was kind of like the cowardly.
Yeah.
Cop. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Which every time I see him, I'm just like, Sung-tae!
I know. He'll forever be Sung-tae.
If y'all don't know, it's from his character from It's Okay Not Be Okay, which he won a lot of his awards. Yes. He's just so good. But yeah, he's so good. He's such a good actor. But I love, let's just stick with our formula that we've been talking about, how these actors have to merge the duality. They have to be the character, but also Yi Jae. I feel like this was one of the formulas that actually worked really well for the character, because the character had the most character growth compared to the other Yi Jae iterations that have happened so far. Like you were saying, as he went from cowardly to like brave and like achieving all this stuff in his department. I was just like, ooh. But a scene that stuck out to me was when Yijay's mom came to the precinct because she returned the money that he gave her. Like, why would you just drop all that money? Anyway, like Ness was saying, Yi Jae was hiding the however billions of dollars he had. He gave it to his mom and dropped it in front of her door for her to give. But his mom wound up giving it back to the precinct. So the precinct is having her come in for questioning and stuff. And Yi Jae sees her as Ji Hyung. And he's just like, oh, ma. He's just like, why did you return the money? And blah, 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 blah. I just thought that was really sad. But his mom is just, she's like, I don't know, that could be dirty money. What are you doing?
Like, I want no parts. I would do the same thing. I'd be like, I want no parts of it. Like, take money it back.
Random show.
Right.
Yeah. He thought he was doing the right thing. But yeah.
Yeah. No, this was a really good character arc. Like, I feel like he, like, EJ experienced a lot of character growth through this, through Ji Hyung. Because you see Ji Hyung, he's like a cowardly cop. Like, none of his fellow cops really respect him. And they're just kind of like, ugh, like, you're always messing up. Like, you know. But then he, like, you know, he gets really brave and he's able to, like, fight against assailants. And, like, he caught, I think he caught, what was his name? Tae-sung's killer, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he caught Tae-sung because, again, like, they're bringing things, like, full circle.
Yes.
You know, he's, like famous on the news, like, this brave cop. Like, you know, he gets the job done or whatever. And then what I found really interesting in this episode was when Ji-hyung ends up sacrificing himself for his partner.
So sad.
Because they were, like, in a face-off against somebody. I don't even remember who they were going up against, but basically he ends up sacrificing himself for his partner. And then he ends up, you know, in Death's lair again. And Death is like, why? Like, she's like, are you proud of yourself? Like, why? Like, you know, like, why do you think like what you did was the right thing? And kind of like speaking to kind of like, I guess like self-righteousness and like, you know, boasting in like, you know, your own works. And like, still like, yes, he had grown a lot, but he still didn't quite get it. And I thought that was like a really important turning point in his like journey through all these lives.
That's so good. And I'm glad he finally got Taeyu, because I didn't think he was okay the way it was starting out. But he wound up getting that man up in that airplane. Wait, that didn't kill him.
Right. He didn't die. He just like doesn't have legs.
Yes. Because right? They went, like you said, they tied it all together. He went up. Yes. And you thought the airplane was going to blow up, but he wound up getting a parachute in time. But then he goes down and Yijie, you think, is going to kill him. But no, he stops because he sees Jisoo's pen. Mm-hmm. But I think Death helped him out, because the wind came out of nowhere with the parachute for Taeyu. And then he winds up hitting the car.
I think Death helped him too.
Yeah, it's not confirmed, but a speculation that the wind was Death. And then, like you said, he's kind of amputee now.
Yeah, like, I agree. Yeah. And then also, I don't know if it was in that episode or the episode before this one, but we find out that Taehoon is like the one that killed Gonwoo and Jisoo. Like, he's the one that was driving the car. And we also find out that he's the one that was like terrible. Basically like framed Taesung, and like for him to take the fall and go to jail. He did. He's also like the mysterious donor that was like, you know, in charge of Hoon's like flying accident. Like, so he's like all wrapped up in all of these things.
Didn't he kill like his maid's baby, or like suffocated the baby?
When he was a kid, he showed signs of being a psychopath, because he killed a baby, or he tried to.
Man, it's crazy.
So, yeah, it all just came together. Disturbing. Yeah.
Very disturbing. Kim Ji Hoon, go back to love to hate you vibes.
Please, okay. Still rom com, please. You're really good at like the scary stuff, but please.
He need a break.
I know you love your disturbing roles, but please.
Is that what he call it?
Yeah, just call it disturbing.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, too much. But yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yay. Okay. Episode 7.
Yeah, the homeless man, which is, this is so disrespectful. They never gave him a name.
I know, he never got a name. He's just like homeless man, but played by Kim Won Hae, who is amazing. He's in all the dramas.
Wait, I gotta put some respect on his name. I didn't know that. He is the makeup.
Wait, oh, what is really? He in?
Yeah. I didn't know he was in.
He's remember in he's in like Strong Woman Do Bong Soon. He's in what's that other show? He was in Good Bad Mother. He was in
While You Were Sleeping. Show that
you watch While You Were Sleeping. Remember, like, the police officer? No, was he a police officer? No. Yeah, he had one of the other prosecutors that worked with Jung Suk's character. But, yeah.
Girl, I'm thankful for you, because I didn't know the man. I didn't know him. But he has so many accolades. I was like, whoa. I was scrolling.
I know. Angel Wiki.
But I did like how this we're continuing to tie things together. We saw, you know, the after effects of Ji Hyung's funeral, and just how decorated he was and how many people, you know, I guess showed love and everything. But it kind of doesn't really matter. It kind of reminded me of like the Bible verse, like, don't store your treasures on earth, store them in heaven, because man is dead and he not gonna see all them flowers and stuff.
So right.
That doesn't really do a lot for him, but he did get to see it because he's going through these lives. But the scene that stuck out to me was in the stairwell. What was his name? Ji Hyung's former partner was just in there like sad and stuff like that. And then the homeless man / Yijie went up to him and he just yokes him up, the partner. And he's like, who do you think you are? Like, who are you? And he's like, I don't know who I am anymore. It's just so sad.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that was, yeah, that scene definitely stuck out to me as well. Because, like, you know, as the homeless man, he's just like, okay, I'm going to comfort, you know, I'm going to comfort my former partner. And the guy is just like, who are you? Like, no one cares about, you know, and like, and then like, you know, you kind of get, I think, was it like a voiceover or something? It's just like, at the end of the day, yeah, like, people aren't going to care, like, you know, what you're saying, yeah, or whatever, but it's just like what you look like and like what you present as. Yeah. And he's just like looking at himself in the mirror, like, wow, I'm like, to all these people, I'm just some homeless guy. Like, I don't mean anything to these people. And yeah, it was humbling. You could tell that he was like humbled in that moment. And like, also just like tired from this whole thing, just having to cycle through these lives. So yeah, that was a really, really sad scene.
So sad.
Yeah. Okay. And then also in this episode, we got the office worker, right?
Yes. The CGI car accident from the beginning.
Yeah. I was shocked because I was like, oh, we can go back in time?
Yes.
I was like, oh, okay. Like,
I was like, whoa.
I was like, I didn't know.
This changes things.
Yes, definitely changes things. And I was like, oh, this changes everything. Like, I was like, oh, yes. I didn't even go back in time. So, yeah, I was really, really surprised.
Same. But then I also didn't think that he would actually do the same thing that the man did. Right. But I guess things had to happen the way that they did. But even with the little orb memory we got of this man, I just felt bad for him. He was really having a bad day, kind of like EJ. Yeah. Well, EJ had like a bad few years, but that man got fired from his job and like divorce papers. So it's just sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, man. All right. And then what happened at the end of episode 7?
Oh, he goes in his mama's body.
Yeah. I screamed. I literally screamed. I was like, I didn't think that would ever be a possibility. I was like, whoa, what does this mean? Like, what's going to happen?
Me either. I thought he would have been back in his body by now. Yeah, girl. I was like, whoa. But I was excited because I was ready for her to kill it because she can just kill it. Okay, I was ready for her to kill it, the actress.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I was just like shocked because like I did not think of that as a possibility like at all. So when it happened, I was like, oh my gosh, like what's going to happen? So yes. Yeah. So let's talk about the last episode, episode 8.
Yes. So I feel like I was having a moment watching this because I feel like Yijie, I feel like this happens as you get older. You see like your parents as people and not just your parents. And he actually was able to see his mom's life. We're not able to see our parents' lives, but through the stories that they tell us, and as we just see them more as humans, as people, we can appreciate them for how much they sacrificed and love us. And I feel like that happened with him. Like, he saw like, wow, my mom really loved me. My mom really made sacrifices for me. And she loved me and she was broken that I died. Yeah. So even just that whole moment when he saw her life with the memory orb was really significant for me. And him seeing his mom see his dead body. And he says this quote, which I'm going to use my Naz voice. I got a quote. I got that quote. So he says, I experienced 12 painful deaths as punishment for what I did. The death that caused me the most pain wasn't when I was burned to death or when my limbs were severed. It was the death of someone that I loved dearly. The hellish pain I put my mother through had come right back to me. And I was like, yeah. Yeah. Ooh. And then it's also like, makes us think like, really appreciate your parents.
Yeah.
Really appreciate your parents because, yeah, they out here sacrificing. But, yeah, that was a big thing that stuck out to me.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I totally agree. Yeah, this episode, I definitely cried in this episode multiple times. Aww. Shout out to the writing because, I mean, so good. For everything to just come full circle like this, I could not believe just how good it was and how well executed it was. But yeah. There was a lot of things that stuck out in this episode. But one of the things that stuck out was when EJ's mom was hiking and she had, like, fell. And, you know, she was like, you know, kind of struggling. And, you know, he was like, I will not die. I will not die. And he like got mm-hmm. up and like just kept going. Yeah. And he ended up being able to live in his mom's body like for the rest of her days, which was
32 years,
which was crazy. Like for that to be the life that he ended up being able to live his days in. Like I was like, that's incredible. Like, that's amazing. Like, I just thought that as a writing choice, like that was just, oh my gosh, was this amazing for it to come full circle like that. But one quote that stuck out to me this episode was, this is EJ. He said, "You can't really say you're living when you live in constant fear. But since I was a coward, I always lived in constant fear, afraid that the world wouldn't recognize my worth, that I would fall behind my peers, and that I would be rejected. I ended up taking my own life due to my fear before my life could even blossom. I only realized after dying that life in itself was an opportunity, and the pain that I thought engulfed my whole life was only a small part of it. A clear day, a rainy day, a windy day, I learned that life was made up of these different days, and that it was okay to fail as long as I kept going. It was only after I ended up inside my mom's body that I finally realized this." So it's like, he got it. Like, he understands now.
Yes. And even his revelation was bigger than that, you know, like he had a full view of the situation.
Yes.
So good. The payoff was worth it.
Absolutely. Like, him just seeing his mom's perspective, like, I think at one point he said, like, you know, my mom, like, has lived a hard life too, but she kept going. And like, you know, life is about like balancing the good and the bad. We're constantly balancing those two things. Things can't be perfect all the time. And, you know, he finally learned that lesson, and it was just, it was just beautiful. But oh my gosh, so good. But what did you think about the ending?
Yeah, I was a little nervous. Well, first, before we go back to like the scene where he's back in his body, Def is saying like she gonna give him this gun, and if it could shoot or it couldn't shoot. And I was like, well, how are we playing games here? So I wasn't sure, but I was like, he's probably gonna go back to his body. So I thought it would be a little bit more, maybe, but I mean, I was happy that he got to his body and he was like, "Oma," and answered the phone for his mom. I was like, yay.
Yes.
He passed Death's game.
Yes. Woo!
How did you feel?
So true. I loved the ending. I didn't even think him going into his own body again was a possibility, because I didn't know that like going back in time was a thing at the beginning of the show.
Right.
So I was like, oh, like this is it. Like at the end of the day, he's still going to be dead. But the fact that he got another chance, I was just so happy for him. I was so happy. Right. I was like, oh my gosh. I just felt so much relief for him. Like, I'm so happy that you get to like undo all of this, and you get to be with your girlfriend, you get to be with your mom, you get to start fresh. Like, I loved the ending. I was, because I wasn't expecting it. Like, I was really like, oh, he's gonna have to die at the end anyways. And yeah, so I absolutely love the fact that he got a second chance.
Do you think in another show this could have all been a dream? And he never jumped off the roof, and this was all something he was like, he was dreaming about, and then he woke back up still on the roof.
Yeah, I think another show would definitely have tried to do something like that, and it definitely would have been a not good choice. Everything
Ness would have not watched
a good choice.
Ness would have stopped watching it.
Yeah, because it's been like, what is the point? None of this is real.
Yes. Ness would have been so upset. But yeah, I agree.
So good. Okay. Did you have any hot takes?
I guess it's like a lukewarm take. There is always the conversation like, okay, now that he's back in his body, what does that mean? Like, there's still evil people that he's seen. There's still all the things that is going to happen. But I guess you can like cancel that out to be like, since he's not in the body, those things won't happen. But I don't know. I think it'll take too many mental gymnastics to try to even go down that road. But that is something that I was thinking about too. I was like, okay, is he going to try to take down Take Young Corporation again? Mm-hmm. Is he going to try to prevent the airplane fight? But it's too much mental gymnastics. It's fine. That's fine.
Well, but yeah. I didn't even think about that. I mean, I feel like it's definitely gives room for, like, if they wanted to continue the story, they could, like, based on, like, everything that he learned. Like, would he want to do something about it, or would he want to mind his business and just live his life? Which I think after experience only that, he probably does just want to mind his business, live his own life.
That's true. And appreciate the people he have in it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I didn't have any hot takes, so.
Wait, I have one more.
Oh, yeah.
I liked the fact that it was part one and part two. I think it actually made a clear break in between. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people may not agree, but I think part one had a clear ending for me, and then it was part two. I thought it made sense. I don't know.
Yeah, I think part one definitely ends off, like, at a good place that you're like, oh, wow, that definitely felt like a part one. I'm definitely, like, at the edge of my seat now. But, like, just, like, from a logistical standpoint, I just don't understand, like, when I watch a show, like, I just want to be done with it. Like, I don't want to have to, like, wait 3 weeks and, like, finish it. Yeah. But, like, I get it. Like, it wasn't the worst thing in the world. Like, it could have been worse. So, and it was only 3 weeks, so it wasn't that bad.
Yeah. If it was, like, a nevertheless and you watched 8 episodes and then you were like, wait 8 more, like 3 more weeks for the other 8, then it would be like, yeah, why did you do that? You know?
Yeah. It's like, no, thank you. Like, I feel like there should only be part one and part two if there's, like, an actual need for it. And I think, like, for this show, it's fine. Like, I think it's fine. It didn't feel, like, unwarranted. But then some shows you're just like, we could have just, you know, wrapped this up. Like
Love Alarm.
Yeah. I don't know what they were thinking. I don't want to talk about that.
Sorry, let's not bring that up.
anyways, did you have any more hot takes?
No, ma'am.
Okay, let's talk about ratings and rankings. What do you rate Death's Game? Yeah, what is your final decision on the rating?
Yeah, it's a 5 out of 5, 10 out of 10. I don't have really any big things. I don't really know. I think we've said all of it already. I would just be repeating. The show is so good. Yeah. It's dark sometimes, but I do think it has so many life lessons. And it'll preach, okay? It'll preach.
Yes.
Loved it.
Yeah, totally agree. 5 out of 5, 10 out of 10, million out of a million. Blew me away. Like 2024 started with a bang. Like, I was like, oh, wow. Like, and yeah, I had a good feeling about the show, but I don't know if I knew that it was going to be, like, this good. I literally have no qualms with it. Like, I think it's literally a perfect show. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And even if it's not necessarily your taste, like, I don't think that this show is necessarily, like, both of our, like, first choice of, like, genre. It's, like, really gritty and, like, but, like, it's so good. And it's so good to get out of your comfort zone sometimes and just, like, watch, like, a good show. And this, it was excellent. Like, I have no notes. Like, it's just really good.
Our tastes have been growing. I think Bloodhounds helped open up some stuff. Well, Squid Game, Bloodhounds, like, we're starting to get more into the grittier.
Yes. So definitely, definitely. It's always good to broaden your horizons.
Yes.
All right, on to lessons learned. Oriel, what did you take away from Death's Game?
I'm stealing from the end credits. It says there's only one you in the world. There's only one you in this world. And I was like, wow, what a way to end a show. But it's also, like, such a good thing to keep in mind, or something to think about. Like, your life is worthy of you living it. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're alive, you still have things that we need you for. Like, your life is worth it. So I was like, yeah, what a way to end. But yeah, that's my lesson learned. Loved it.
I love that. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made and uniquely made, and we all bring something special to the world, and we can't forget that. So yeah, I love that so much. For me, I felt there's so many messages you can take away. One thing that really stuck out was, like, you know, actions have consequences. So EJ could only see his present circumstance. And at the time, he didn't realize that life, you know, is a lot of, like, balancing, and you're balancing the good and the bad. And he didn't realize that, like, what he did would, like, have such a ripple effect in the life of his mom and, like, Jisoo. And, you know, just he didn't realize, like, how loved and treasured he was because he could only focus on everything that was going wrong in his life. And yeah. But then unfortunately, because he took his own life, there wasn't any way for him to take that back. Like that was it. And I think that Song Gook did such a good job portraying like the despair of like Yi Jae mm-hmm. just having so much regret about his decision and the consequences of his decision. So that was one thing I took away. And also I think that this, okay, so we know in South Korea, like suicide is such a huge issue. Yeah. And, you know, we see it a lot in K-dramas. And I think that sometimes the issue of suicide can be almost trivialized. And it's almost like, oh, the bad guy, he killed himself at the end. All right, moving on. Or like, oh, this person, you know, it just happens so often. And it's not always like, I feel like it's not always handled with a lot of care. And I feel like it was refreshing to see the topic of suicide discussed in a way that's like, no, this is a real problem. Yes. And people are really going through this and families are really being, you know, broken apart by this issue. And it's not just like, oh, yeah, it's just another suicide, quote unquote. It's a real issue. And that I feel like this show really showed that like it doesn't solve anything, right? It's not, it causes so much pain for like the families that are left behind. It, you know, we see in Yi Jae, like it didn't solve any of his problems because he was still very much in despair because of, you know, what ended up happening to his family and his loved ones because of the choice that he made. So yeah, just like, you know, I feel like another message was kind of just like, you know, knowing that like taking your life is like never the answer. And, you know, it's life can be so hard, but it's just like knowing that, like, you don't have to go through it alone. Like, you don't have to go through these feelings of despair, like, by yourself. And, like, taking your own life will, like, never be the answer. So that's something else that I took away as well. But I just really appreciated this, like, refreshing take on the topic of suicide and not done in, like, a frivolous way, but, like, really talked about, like, the consequences of it and how it impacts the people that are left behind. So yeah, I just thought that the show did that really, really well. So
that's so good. Yeah, I agree. That's goodness. Yeah, I agree, girl. But yes.
But yeah, y'all, that's Death's Game. Again, the show deals with very heavy topics, but I think the message is just so profound and the show is so well done and it's amazing. And I forgot to mention this at the beginning, but I did feature on Liliana's podcast, Tea and Soju. Me, her, and Jess talked about Death's Game. I'm going to put that in the description box as well. I loved talking about the drama with them. This is all I had. And Oriel, thank you so much for joining me. This was fun, as usual. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, girly. And again, congrats on season 3, girl. Woo! I'm so proud of you. Oh my gosh, you're killing it. I can't wait. I told you. I already told you this probably. I've been looking for Swoon Diaries to pop up on my Spotify. And now I'm looking forward to Thursdays, okay? Because I look forward to hearing your voice, even though I won't be watching a lot of the shows. But, you know, I just like hearing your voice. So I'm just super proud of you and everything that Swoon Diaries has become. In like, you really out here killing it. You killing it, girl. I'm proud of you. But yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you, friend. I appreciate you. But yes, y'all, thank you so much for listening. I'm so excited to be back. Let me know what you thought about this show, what you thought about this episode, and I will talk to y'all later. Bye.
Bye.